Dear Ajahn, how does one practice wise sense restraint in lay life where one has to deal with family, friends, co-workers, and so on, especially on the level of speech and emotions that one encounters? Thank you. Well, it's the same in monastic life where one has to deal with family, friends, co-workers, and so on. We've got them all too. And it's a little bit, I mean, sense restraint is, I think probably maybe the question also, it's not just sense restraint, but restraint of speech and action is kind of, seems like where the question is pointing towards. Speech, especially on the level of speech and emotions that one encounters. Because sense restraint, it does involve sense restraint, but sense restraint meaning what it is, how we attend to the world around us. Sense restraint not necessarily meaning shutting off the sense doors or closing one's eyes, closing one's ears, disappearing up into the forest, not paying attention to anything. It's not. I mean, those can be some aspects of sense restraint when things are overwhelming, but sense restraint generally means not attending to those features of an experience or an object that are provocative of greed, hatred, and delusion, lust, desire, aversion. So knowing how to properly deal with sense data that comes in, how to view something that would normally be enticing to you or attractive to you or repulsive to you, how to see those sense objects or hear or experience, you know, through any of the six sense doors, how to attend to them in a wise way that doesn't ignite or support those underlying tendencies towards desire or aversion. So looking at things more clearly and not letting the haze or the illusion fool you as to what it is that you're attending to or to letting in through the sense doors. So it's using wisdom to see, for instance, the unattractive and the attractive, or the elementality of that which might be repulsive, you know, seeing things in their true form, their elements, their true nature, without letting the underlying tendencies of hatred or delusion or greed inform how, what you attend to, what you look at. Because like to have an, you know, to really be fooled by a, say an attractive object, you have to be very selective about what you look at. And if you look too closely at everything, then you realize, oh, maybe that's not quite so enticing after all. So that's kind of what sense restraint really means. Again, it doesn't mean necessarily shutting oneself off. So it's just looking at it with what's called wise attention, yoniso manasikara. And then in the expressive level of restraint, I mentioned this, I think I was talking about this in a talk or Q&A sometime before, but particularly around speech, and that's something that we have to practice with every minute of the day here, essentially, with our family, friends, coworkers, and so on. It's a lot of it is just really developing that moment-to-moment mindfulness of what's going on inside. And if you feel, and it's a lot of it is based on body awareness, because all of our emotional states have some sort of expression in the body, and it's our most reliable source of information about what's going on in our mind as well. So if we want to know what's happening on an emotional level in our hearts and our minds, the more we fully attend to the body and its various ways that it registers these mental experiences, the more we're going to know when say, an unskillful response is about to happen. So, like, you know, we have a difficult encounter with a co-worker or a family member or a friend. And if we're really, you know, practiced and well attuned to our bodies, you know, fairly quickly we see that kind of, you know, emotion start to rise up and surge as like a cramping in the stomach or a tightness in the chest or a, you know, a heat in the body if there's like a lot of emotion, you know, the heat rises up, face flushes, so, or the hands get something tenses up, you know, and kind of grabs. So the more we're aware of that, the more it's like, okay, there's a warning here. This is like, okay, if I act on this, if I say something in this state of body mind, it's quite possible that it's going to come out in an unskillful way and not be of any use to anybody, and that I'll regret it later. So exercising that kind of practice of mindfulness and clear comprehension, just as this is how we want to live our lives. This is the daily practice, whether we're sitting on the cushion or going about our daily business. And then practicing the restraint of the, particularly of the speech faculty. As I was saying, you know, if you feel like you're about to say something in response to a difficult situation and there's that sense of tension beneath all of it, then sometimes the most skillful thing to do is to skillfully and politely excuse yourself and withdraw from the situation until the emotion inside of you has settled down to a point where you can respond in a way that's going to be useful. You know, the Buddha prescribed a certain number of conditions that one should meet before one, you know, gives somebody some feedback or responds in some way. And honesty, of course, is at the foremost, but also knowing the usefulness of it. You know, sort of like what I'm going to say not only be the truth, but is it going to be actually useful to this person? You know, are they going to take it in the right way and be able to use it in a way that is going to be helpful? And to do it with a heart of kindness as best you can. And knowing the right time, the right place. You know, you don't do it in front of a group of other people or in front of other, you know, friends, family members. Try and find a quiet place where there can be a bit more ease and trust, and knowing the right time. You know, is this person in a state of mind that they'll be able to hear what it is that I have to say? So there's a lot of conditions for practicing right speech when the emotions are running high. And you know, I've done it before, and I the more I do it, the more I appreciate it. So that if I'm feeling, you know, like a little bit charged with something, you know, it's okay to say, well, I'm not ready to talk about this yet. I think I'll, you know, leave right now, and then perhaps we can get together again and talk about this, you know, when I'm in a clearer state of mind. And just to be able to say that gently and then withdraw and then kind of let it process through you.